Welcome to the commercial insurance pricing stream. So if you're in the wrong room, the personal one's over there. For those that don't know me, my name is Yusuf Kaken, and I head up one of the commercial actuarial teams in Suncorp. In this concurrent session, we're going to have two presentations. The format of the presentations will be similar to what you experienced in the plenary session. There'll be basically 30 minutes of presentation, followed by about 10 minutes of question time. The questions, you would all have question cards on your table. If you could write your questions on that and raise your hand, someone will come around to pick them up and forward them to me, and then I'll pick out the questions that we'll ask at that 10-minute interval. And I encourage you to write any question that may come to your mind, because we have two quite interesting papers. The first paper will be from Jan and Stephen. From Ernst & Young. Just to give you a bit of background, Stephen Wilson is an executive director of Ernst & Young, and he has over 14 years' experience in general insurance. Prior to recently rejoining Ernst & Young, Stephen held the position of actuary Asia Pacific Zone with Chubb Insurance for 4.5 years, where he was the approved actuary and chairman of the Business Risk Committee for Australia. Prior to joining Chubb Insurance, Stephen was approved actuary for 7 insurers in Australia and Singapore. Stephen has a particular focus on commercial insurance and risk management. Yan Zhao is a director of general insurance at Ernst & Young. She has 12 years' experience working in the general insurance industry, including 6 in accident compensation and workers' compensation. Jan has held a number of senior management positions within some of Australia's largest insurers, including being a strategic planning manager for a large commercial portfolio. Jan and Stephen are going to talk about commercial pricing in a soft market, which is quite, you know, relevant and topical at the moment for all the commercial insurance actuaries and product managers. I remember not long ago when HIH just had collapsed, there were people that were saying that the insurance cycle is, you know, it's not going to happen again, or it won't be as severe. And there was a lot of reasons that were cited, like the collapse of HIH, which was a rogue operator, APRA standards forcing capital, all the insurers being listed, therefore shareholder discipline, and you know, there was a lot of consolidation which has happened in the industry. But I think the experience has borne out that that is not the case, and we are in a soft market at the moment. So I'll invite them to start their presentation.
Today's presentation will give an overview of the challenge that the Australian insurers face in the current soft market conditions, the characteristics of the insurance cycle, and strategies insurers use to attempt to maximise long-term shareholder value throughout the cycle. Finally, we'll look at the role of the pricing actuary in commercial business, the importance of the actuary taking a strategic role, and the goal of achieving best practice pricing in commercial business. Excuse me. The JP Morgan survey has recently come out earlier this month, and a couple of the key findings were that on average commercial prices fell 8% during the year, on top of 9% last year and 6% the year before. And the market sees the cycle turning in around 2009. Competition for commercial business is fierce currently, and there are no indications that the level of rate reductions are going to slow this year or even next year or the year after. There are numerous examples of poor underwriting practices re-emerging in the market. A couple of examples, recently a large corporate property account renewed for a rate of below 2 cents, which is for a long time has been mooted as the walkaway price for that type of risk. At the peak of the hard market, those type of risks were about 4 cents. The direct property market is often cheaper than the factory insurance market, so that's another interesting development. And significant reductions in deductibles are commonly being seen. I guess what's surprising is some underwriters, when they ask for the under-deductible claims experience, are being questioned by the broker that no one else has asked for that, and it seems to be an unreasonable question. So how can we ensure that the pricing recommendations that we are coming up with are actually flowing through to the rates actually being charged. Initially, we'll discuss the insurance cycle. Yeah, so the, I mean, insurance cycle, there's no one cycle. There are many different cycles. Each class of business, each segment, each geography has, you know, numerous factors affecting it. Some of them are interrelated, some are completely independent. Quick definition, the underwriting cycle, the tendency of insurance premiums, profits and available capacity to rise and fall with some regularity over time. If we look at the capacity cycle, you know, the level of capacity in a particular market, and you know, the overall market capitalisation, which unfortunately is very strong currently. The profitability cycle, or more the, I guess, the recognition of the profitability of business currently written. So high profitability will tend for new players to enter markets, which will quickly drive prices back down. Unfortunately, the length of the hard market is usually much shorter than the length of the soft market. And the reserving cycle, don't need to dwell too much on this. You know, it's well known, or it's been debated, that actuaries tend to strengthen reserves following a period of hard market cycles and tend to weaken valuation bases following soft market cycles. Now, whether that's intentional or inadvertent, that's very debatable. And it's probably a combination of both. I mean, obviously, there's some explicit strengthening of valuation, where the probability of adequacy is increased. So, that's made clear to the market. So again, we've covered the nature of insurance cycle. So the nature of insurance, why do these cycles exist? The key factor is the uncertainty of knowing the cost of the product we're selling, and the sometimes long delays in actually identifying what the true cost of business is. And obviously that will vary by class of business. So major losses, or the recognition of many years of past underpricing, is a key factor in the market changing. The impact of such shocks can be compounded by reinsurance capacity tightening up and the cost of reinsurance increasing at the same time. So many factors affecting the severity of the cycle. Again, class of business, so short tail classes, in particular personal lines, small package business, there's much less volatile, greater homogeneity of risks. We're able to estimate premiums and reserves much better. High-end corporate and larger SME accounts, much greater uncertainty, greater diversity of risks, and much greater great diversion of views on what the correct price is. Insurers' attitude to reinsurance is also a factor. The size of the company's net retentions, whether underwriters are judged on gross loss ratios or gross results or net results, whether pricing incorporates the net cost of the net cost of claims plus reinsurance, or whether they're looking at the underlying total cost of claims. And distribution is a major factor. Direct business is a lot less volatile because of the direct relationship with the client. Large corporate businesses broke globally, and the brokers are often remunerated on fees rather than commissions, so there's no disincentive for them to push prices down. An interesting paper, I won't, in interest of time, I'll just refer this paper to you. It looks at the human influence on the insurance cycle. So it's quite interesting. Not surprisingly, how you remunerate your underwriters is a key factor to underwriter behaviour. If their bonuses are dependent on growth, well, you know, they're going to be pretty creative in growing their book of business. Profitability and power looks at whose management is going to listen to. So in a period of strong profitability, you know, the underwriters are going to be key in setting strategies. In times of losses, unprofitable business, claims managers and actuaries get much greater say in the strategy. Unfortunately, it's not usually until the accounting profits turn bad that management really take notice, and that stage is often too late. And of course, you know, the influence of brokers, well, their main focus is on their customers, so they, you know, clearly try and push, you know, get the best deal for their customer to show that they're adding value to the process. Can insurance cycles be predicted? Sorry about that. So it's unclear what triggers a turning point in the cycle. Often it's a major event, such as, well, HIH was certainly a big event, but, you know, if we look at it was a string of events back in 2001, 2002 that really caused such a hardening of the market. So, you know, this is not a normal, it was not a normal hard market. There's some industry commentators suggest that the underpricing in the Australian market was known, and the market started to turn before HIH collapsed. But even if that happened, the severity of the change in the cycle would not have been nearly as significant. So what's going to trigger the changing of the current soft market? Perhaps bird flu or the subprime crisis. See Swiss Re's taken a 1.2 billion Swiss franc hit, I believe. And numerous class actions are proposed for D&O and PI for advisors. So how long can our rates remain profitable?
Okay. I'm going to talk about why does soft market persist in our view, and what are the strategies implemented by insurers in a soft cycle? I'm not going to ask you raise your hand to vote on how long you think the current cycle is going to last. In our view, there are quite a lot of reasons why this cycle that we're currently experiencing still have a lot of strength in it. The major insurers in Australia are listed companies, which means they are pressured by the market expectation of profit and growth. With profit usually not an issue at the beginning of the soft market, the growth expectations are high. In a mature market, growth pressure will squeeze the profit margin without any real change in the overall market volume. So it is not surprising that the overall market in Australia have consolidated for commercial insurance, because it does take the fittest to survive. We believe that there's a general expectation that during the soft cycle, insurers have a view that if they're writing a business that's not profitable in current turn, the market will eventually turn, which means they're writing that business for the long-term value. And the first insurer to raise the rate, increase the rate, will risk the possibility that they're going to lose quite a large amount of quality business, because the rest of the market is quite happy to cherry pick. And currently there is an excessive capital. The latest APRA returns do showing that the general insurer have capital adequacy ratio, which is capital versus the minimum capital requirement, close to 2. I know Standard & Poor regards 1.5 as adequate, so we're talking about quite a high level of capital. sorry, I just thought about one issue related to prior year releases. Sure, it comes through the accounting results, insurer's profit is propped up. Surely, internally, the actuaries will be informing the management about whether that profit is actually related to current year. So there's a bit of an element of holding your breath and see who's going to increase first. So is there misinformation about a true cost of product? Quite possibly. We don't believe there's actually a fixed value in commercial product. There are human reason for it. When the insurance price increase, individual insured may choose to adopt more stringent risk management to limit their premium. But during the time of lower premium, the cost benefit is not so strong. So you do have that volatility building your claim cost. Another example would be the tort reform. After 5 years, it's still not clear exactly what the benefit is. And finally, we believe the strategies adopted by insurers to combat soft market often result in further premium reductions until a significant event happens. I think the slide is done. Okay, strategy adopted in soft market, we consider quite a few, but for the interest of time, we're probably going to cover just a few. I'll explain. I'll probably mention the first few here. Technical focus. It's effectively talking about establishing a walkaway price and also apply an underwriting standard. It is actually quite difficult to do in the soft market because it's continually tested. And it's especially true if you actually set your price at a long-term adequate price, expecting to make a profit in the current year. Risk selection and segmentation is a very strategic approach. Obviously require the right segment to be targeted for the insurer. Operational efficiency, I won't go any further, it's pretty obvious. Strategic use of reinsurance. I'm not suggesting that the insurer should go out and rip off the reinsurers because it doesn't work in long term, but tactically it can be adopted, particularly when an insurer tried to expand its market share or expand into a new market segment. And the use of a reinsurance can reduce the profit impact on the direct insurer. Cross-subsidisation, quite common. A lot of insurers take the view that it's the overall profit that matters, not a particular product or risk. But the possible downside to that is the underwriters be writing a loss leader to support other loss leader because they lose track of which one actually make profit. Reliance on relationships. Of course, if an insurer have a stronger relationship with the customer, be it broker or customers, then the competition for the business will be reduced. And a good example of that is a direct business have less volatility in price compared to broker business, simply because that relationship to the end customer is closer. Okay. Bothered by technology here. Okay, how to maximise long-term value? A way to do that would be to look at a present value of future profits. at a risk-adjusted rate. I guess the challenge is to work out what sort of rate to, say, value the direct business as opposed to a broker business, to the small SME risks as compared to the large accounts. And how do we assess the riskiness and effectiveness of potential strategies? We'll talk about that in the examples we're going to give. We're assessing four strategies in particular. Most commonly adopted one is market pricing. And it's common because if your competitor is doing it, if you don't do it, what's going to happen to your portfolio? But it comes with its consequence. So for some insurers, where they have quite a large amount of capital, they're probably going to last a lot longer than the others. But if everybody adopt this policy, then the downward spiral can be expected. I suppose that's what the soft cycle is all about. Pretty much most underwriters more or less utilise this strategy. Some weaker insurers will not last the distance. So actually, at the end of the cycle, it provides opportunities for the stronger one to buy out the market share. So whether that strategy has a merit in there, it depends on a number of factors. The success of strategy requires capital and distributional strength, and also depends on competitor reactions. And the potential gain needs to be balanced against the company's capacity to withstand the negative impact on profit and capital. Walk away from the market. This is a pretty absolute message to market that I'm just not willing to deal at the current price. It's probably a suitable one for a small and a small portfolio, unprofitable for a prolonged period of time. And when you take from a long-term perspective, it's probably not worth the effort to build it up, especially in light of a current soft market, which is not likely to turn anytime soon. But you could also argue it plays right into the hand of the stronger insurers because they can take your market share. So it depends on your view as an insurer of whether that's the right strategy to take. This strategy can also be implemented by international underwriters who can enter and exit the market temporarily, of course, with ease, provided that they have alternative markets to reallocate their resources. So more likely to be utilised for large accounts, I presume. Hold and increase rates. Yes, a little bit different to the first one. Probably an alternative if you, as an insurer, you feel that a complete exit would cause too much problem for the existing book. This strategy can be implemented by a dominant player if the timing is right, if the capacities start to shrink. But if initiated at the wrong time, there's a risk that adverse selection would happen if the rest of the market does not follow. So it can be a brave call. When do you believe it's the right time to increase price? So the outcome of this strategy is highly dependent on timing, market power, and the relationship strength of the insurer. Strategy 4, target market. I mentioned before that it's highly strategic. A company have to make a decision to compete at a market segment which it believes that it can do better than the other insurers. If everyone implement this strategy, then one would assume that soft cycle would not last as long and it will not be as severe. Companies implementing these strategies will be likely to defend their target business and selectively shed poor quality business. They also have greater investments in the target market segments compared to the competitors. Of course, a lot of analysis will go into this. We don't have time today to talk about the detail, but the key points is this strategy, if implemented appropriately, it's not just for soft cycle. It is, however, a quite effective defence in a soft cycle. Okay, in the interest of time, I'll just skip this session on the relative strength. I think we covered the key points. I'll just hand over to Stephen to talk about the role of pricing actuary in commercial business.
Again, the pricing actuary's role in commercial business is quite different to personal lines. There's certainly an importance on technical pricing, but there has to be a much greater relationship with the underwriters. The ability to get technical rates perfect, but having no real relationship to the businesses actually written, is quite a risk. And it's a big risk when the strategy of the company changes. So if you need to be talking with the underwriters to understand when the strategy changes, when the company's moving into new segments. Segmentation analysis, portfolio monitoring is very important. Qualitative and also quantitative and qualitative, so talking with the underwriters and talking with your claims people. Trends apparent to the claims department, maybe years before you see those sort of things in the data. Rate compliance, for small businesses is something that can be done very well, comparing actual rates charged with your book prices, assessing the level of discounts against targets, even by underwriters, certainly by segments. If a risk changes classifications, if the underwriters or BDUs are trying to be creative, how do you assess that? One way is renewal rate change. So that obviously will pick up movements in rates. Important information to feed into your pricing, your rate adequacy reviews. How do you allow for changes in policy conditions? It's more difficult in practice than in theory. The main thing with rate adequacy reviews, it should be a forward-looking assessment. We've talked roughly about this, so I'll continue. But yes, the rate adequacy reviews should be used as part of the strategic planning to look at, giving management forward vision as to, when you'll be in that position of whether you need to walk away from a market or not. Just quickly, trying to wrap up, my view is strategic issues are often more important. If you get the strategy right or wrong, it can have a much bigger impact, followed closely by underwriting, and then pricing is probably the third most important thing. And most importantly is having the pricing actually mirror what the underwriting strategy is and the business being written. Quickly move ahead. Flowing from this, the strategy is having a clear, clear relationship between the strategy, the rate adequacy position, and how the company budgets. Very quickly, in a hard market, expect that new business will be put on at possibly better rates than your existing business. To grow the book at 15% in a hard market, assuming 10% lost business and 10% rate movement, requires about $40 million, so a $250 million book, $40 million of new business. If we look at it in a soft market, just trying to tread water, so keep the portfolio at the same level, expect to lose slightly more business, 15%, rate movement of minus 10%, you now need to write about $60 million of new business just to stay still. And the combined ratio has quickly gone from 75% to 83% on your renewed book and 96% on your new business. If you want to grow 5%, you're now looking at $70 million of new business. So it's a very simple, simplistic example. But if you want to grow at 15% as you were in your hard market, you're now looking at nearly $100 million of new business. Where your book was a combined ratio of 75, and the new business you're putting on it at 96%. So again, budget discipline and poor strategy are key factors in the success of a commercial business portfolio. In a mature market like Australia, when there's excess capacity, if all companies are trying to grow the business, there's only one way rates are going to go. Obviously, it's collusion, but if all insurers cease writing new business, everyone would be in a much better position. You'd all have the same market share, all at much better profitability. Unfortunately, a lot of the cycle is actually driven by new entrants, and maybe existing players in the market who decide to move into new segments to offset the rate reductions. They decide to write liability business or PI, where they haven't been in that segment before. So that's not an issue of bringing new capital into Australia and taking it out. It's just a matter of changing the strategy. So best practice pricing. So technical pricing, segmentation and monitoring are essential, but they're only part of the solution. Embracing and understanding the insurance cycle. Aligning pricing and underwriting with the overall strategy. A wonderful goal would be having joint ownership of the pricing, to underwriter input, claims input and actuarial input. Clear communication of the strategy internally and externally. So remember, the broker business, if the brokers get the wrong market, that's the perception, not the reality. So if your company's perceived to be increasing risks, then increasing rates across the board, then brokers will behave accordingly. It's important to align the budget with the underwriter goals and rewards with that strategy. Yes.
Can anybody hear me? Okay. This is from the floor. Why is the length of the hard market shorter than the soft market? Tricky.
The length of the hard market is generally shorter because as profitability increases, there can be a rapid influx of new capital, new competitors to the market. Whereas once those competitors are in the market, they're going to be much less, they can't take the capital out of the market nearly as quickly. And I guess human nature, underwriters protecting jobs, management protecting jobs, it's much easier giving good news than bad news. There's not one factor, but, And again, it depends. It's more pronounced in the large corporate business, where the business is broke globally. So, if insurers are trying to put rates up too quickly, then the brokers will just go offshore.
Do you consider that the view of the market analysts and the share price and future growth targets which influence executive remuneration has an impact on the market cycle?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, growth is very transparent to the market. Profitability insurance is not. So obviously declared profitability is pretty clear, but you know, whether it's due to the reserving cycle or whether it's takes time to recognise adverse trends, or whether it's difficult to convince management and underwriters that those adverse trends are occurring.
One common strategy that's employed by companies is basically cupping and capping, so that you effectively get a difference in price for your new business versus your renewal business, and I guess that sort of still allows you to grow, but have the benefits, I guess, the profits that are coming up from your renewal book being protected. What are your comments about that strategy?
Okay, I guess this strategy is probably common only for the smaller risks. It's counter-cyclic. So in a hard market, you won't put the price up for the renewal business as much as you do for the new business. There could be a technical support for that because your renewal book probably aren't as bad as a potential new business. But on the flip side, if the soft market comes, your price can drop by 20 to 30%, and you cut your renewal price. Whether you cut it to last year's premium or last year minus 10%, you are at a level that is higher than the renewal price. So for it to work, higher than the new business price. So for it to work, you need a market that's not fully aware of the extent of the soft market. And I suppose from the customer point of view, they prefer insurance premium to be more stable rather than going up and down, up and down. So from the business management point of view, this policy actually meets that expectation. But I don't know what would happen if one of your key customers found out that they could get a better price in the same company if they actually go online or just ring up someone. So the success really depend on the relationship.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I don't think there's any more questions from the floor, so thank you very much. Can anyone join me?